I normally preach out of the King James Version, but we need to cover a lot of material tonight. I'm really going to just be preaching headings. And it's the headings that's in the ESV. And we're going to center in on chapter 25. But we'll take a little while to get there, and we won't be there long, and then we're going to go somewhere else. So we're going to set the context, get the point out of 25, and then go for the application. Could somebody get me a glass of water? I know I'm going to start coughing here. Thanks, Matt. How many of y'all have that cough that's going around? Well, if I cough, can everybody just cough and sort of cover it up? Anyway? What a great congregation. No, I said the guy. Sorry, Kathy. I got to start it. But seriously, if you have that cold and you need to cough, you know, don't kill yourself. Go ahead and cough. Everybody's dealing with it. So, all right. So we are going through the Gospel of Matthew. Did you get the little note? We're going to end on Easter with chapter 28. Funny how that worked out. We are ending Matthew and with the resurrection on Easter. Is that awesome or what? That is great. The best part about it is I think Chad's going to preach. Chad is definitely, if not my favorite, in the very top tier of my favorite teachers to listen to. So we're going through Matthew, and we're calling it The King and His Kingdom Through the Eyes of Matthew, with a little help from his friends. Thanks, son. The King and His Kingdom Through the Eyes of Matthew, with a little help from his friends. Now, we've been going through this study, and it's been important in this study to understand that there are three synoptic gospels, a final gospel, John's gospel, that's written much later. But the basic gospel appears in Mark without a lot of embellishment. The longest book in the New Testament is the book of Luke. Matthew has a lot of material that's unique to Matthew. What you'll find in Mark will be in almost in order in all three gospels. But Matthew spreads his out and puts other stories in. Luke spreads his out, puts different stories in. Mark didn't forget. Matthew doesn't disagree with Luke, but there's reasons that each of these guys were anointed by the Holy Spirit to bring something out. And so we keep that in mind. That's why we say, through the eyes of Matthew. And one of the things we know about Matthew, he was really tuned into the Old Testament promising us that a king would be born of man that would restore man to God. And until he came, we didn't realize that it was going to be God in man. But that's what happens. That's the gospel, that what man has forfeited through sin, God Himself has come down and put on the mantle of flesh and lived every temptation. And because He overcame every temptation by the Spirit through His relationship with the Father, He was the only sacrifice that could be offered up to atone for our sin so that we could come back to the Father and be taught how to live sane lives. Mark got that down. It is powerful. But one of the things we've been doing is we kind of look and we see when we come to places in Matthew where he adds to it, we note that. Let me share what Mark says in this portion of Scripture. And how many of you have been reading it? Okay, good. So you know what we're going to cover tonight. I'm going to read Mark's. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Now, if you've read what we're going to go over tonight, you will see that Mark had all of those ideas in his mind when he wrote this paragraph. Matthew takes two chapters, fairly long chapters. Okay? So remember, Mark was written first, written early. Matthew is writing a gospel that is especially pertinent to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles who have come in at a particular period of time. And that is, as it's moving toward persecution of the Jews and the destruction of the temple. And so, I think Joseph covered last week about the return of Jesus, and you got to keep this in mind. Where Matthew picks up is right before the crucifixion, and he goes back. He's speaking to people in 60-65 AD and to us. He's speaking at a time when these things are moving toward coming to pass. See? Mark got the story down. He remembered that Jesus said, don't forget the time. Don't forget, I mean, what does he say? How does he say it? I lost Mark's. I just looked it up this afternoon. But concerning that day and that hour, no one knows. But he's coming back. You better be awake. You better be ready. He got that down. But now Matthew, in teaching the church has been established, but the Jews are beginning to be persecuted. And so chapter 24 and chapter 25, that is the last public preaching of Jesus. And he comes out of the woes to the Pharisees, and then he goes into this sermon, and he tells them two things. One, Jerusalem is going to be destroyed, and I'm coming back. Jerusalem is going to be destroyed, and I'm coming back. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be awesome to be reminded, Jesus says Jerusalem is going to be destroyed, but the time's not yet, and nobody knows the hour. Set your eyes on the eastern sky, because I will come back. Sometimes I feel like I need encouragement from Jesus. I don't know where this thing is going. I don't know what's going to happen. But I need to know that what goes on in the world has nothing to do. Has nothing to do with when Jesus comes back. He has already decided when he, or the Father knows when he's coming back, and it's going to happen in his time. And so we look to Jesus. We don't cower, and every time some new international thing happens, say, this has got to be the end. We know that no man knows the hour, and we know that Jesus is coming back and he's in control. So folks, if the United States of America goes down the tubes, if ISIS wins and ends up over here, guess what? It's not gonna stop the plan of Jesus. And it doesn't mean that the world has come to an end. All that would mean was maybe that we need to repent. Do you see what I'm saying? It was a point in time when something really bad was gonna happen. And the encouragement was, look, yeah, let me tell you, something bad is going to happen. That ain't the end. The destruction of Jerusalem is not your end. When things fall apart, that's not your end. There's a different end that's coming. And let me tell you, your end is great. So, I hope some preacher in, you know, all of these countries that have fallen has been able to tell them, yeah, nations rise and nations fall. But we keep our eyes on the return of Jesus. And He's coming back. Does that make sense? So that's what Matthew's doing. He's remembering that Jesus had said this. Jesus had prophesied this 30 years earlier. And Matthew was like, you know, Mark wrote that down, but let me fill it out. Because these people are going to be freaking out when that temple falls. I believed it when Jesus said it, but boy, it's closer now. Okay? So He says, keep your eyes toward heaven. Keep your eyes on Jesus and know that He has got international affairs under control. Make sense? All right. So, Joseph talked about it last week, and we come to chapter 25 that's sort of right in the middle of this last sermon that Jesus gave before He left, that Matthew is now given to the church in a time when things look bad, and he's trying to get them to not connect things looking bad with Jesus coming back. Things can look bad. It doesn't mean Jesus is coming back. It just means God is moving ahead with His purposes. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not thinking America's going to fall anytime soon. I think it'll die and it'll fall with my kids. No, just kidding. So we come. And now keep in mind, Matthew remembers some things that Jesus said that he thought would be important for people to hear in stressful times. Okay? You talked about a couple of them last week. The lesson of the fig tree. Remember the lesson of the fig tree? Jerusalem was given many, many chances. And the heart of Jesus is to continue to give chances. But then it comes down and it tells this parable about the good steward and the bad steward. What does the good steward do? Pardon me? Say it one more time. I can't hear you. You know, I sort of have an ear infection. What did he say?
He said invest the talent.
Invest the talent. Well, chapter 24, I got off. I'm sorry. At the end of chapter 4, what Joseph covered last week. He manages the household well. So, things look bad. Things might be coming to an end. Kind of looking to Jesus coming back. Here's what Jesus is going to be interested in when He comes back. He's not going to be interested if you've got 150 gallons of water stored in your basement and survival food. He's not going to be interested in that. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. When times got tough, you drank pure water. Enter thou in to my kingdom. The bomb shelters on the south side. The evil servant, and I'm sure Joseph talked about this, what he does is he takes what was given to him to be a blessing to the world, and he consumes it on himself, and his interaction with others, he treats them like dirt. Times are getting tough. The economy might fall apart. Okay. So if the economy falls apart, I'm a steward and I'm going to be given stuff so I can go hide. And I can have an air filter on my bomb shelter and I can be all ready to go. That's kind of scary to think about. When you start thinking about difficult times, here's what Matthew reminded them. In difficult times when it looks like things are going to fall apart, I'll tell you what Jesus is interested in. He's interested in you caring about the people around you. The best thing to do when things look tough is to start taking care of people. That's what my Bible tells me about the end times. Hallelujah, I'm getting ready for the end times. I'm going to go take care of some people. All right, so we get into chapter 25. And the first thing, and I'm really glad he does this, is we are the people of God. And the people of God relate to this parable wrong. Now, I'm guessing you all have read this. We're not going to read through it all. I'm just going to mention these parables, remind you about what they are, and in this context, see what it would say to us. Okay, so you got this parable of the 10 women, the 10 virgins that are supposed to be part of a wedding party. That should paint a picture. Especially for you people. We can't hardly have church for all the weddings that are going on. Because of all these girls getting ready. I mean, I don't have time. They get ready. And they are tuned in. And they are excited. See, that's us. Jesus is coming back, and that should be us. We should be the five virgins who are ready. But most of the time, when you're preaching this in the house of God, it's, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. Is my whip trimmed? Oh my goodness, you never know when he's coming back. People, Jesus Christ won the victory. He's coming back. And when he does, he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in. That's you, and that's the truth, and that's who we need to relate to. Philip? Even you ought to be able to give a little emotion on this one, brother. You hear what I'm telling you? I love end times teaching, but I hate most of it that I hear. The Bible says his return is our victory, not our call to go and hide and worry and wring our hands. These five virgins knew how to be ready. So Matthew goes on and says, by the way, I also remember this. Jesus mentioned, he went back to talking about those people that had been given stuff. And he tells the next parable. And what's the next parable, Eric? Yeah, exactly. No, that was my fault. I got us in the wrong chapter. All right, so the next thing he does about his return... Things are looking bad. The temple is going to fall, but I'm planting something in your heart. Lift up your eyes. Your redemption draweth nigh. Always live that way. And when he comes back, what he's going to be interested in is he had a purpose for you. You know, there's all kinds of teachings about the talents and what it means, but I will boil it down for you. You are uniquely prepared for a purpose in the earth. God knows what that is. He's your Father. I shouldn't say it this way, but you'll know what I mean. He is in competition with the world for your service. And he is going to come back and he's going to reward you based on how you use your money, time, ability, as it relates to trimming your wick. As it relates to being one of those virgins who, Jesus is coming back, and I want to... I want to have a lot of freeze-dried food. I want to... So Matthew brings it to the people, and he says... Here's what Jesus said. Look at everything you've got. Are you trying to protect yourself from God's judgment on the world? Are you trying to shine your light? Are you in retreat mode, in hide mode? Are you in the aggressive, the kingdom of God? It's advancing with violence, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hello. I don't want to be a part of a church who's afraid of Jesus coming back and trying to scare anybody to heaven. I want to be like all these girls around here when there's a wedding showing up. Let's make ourselves ready. Let's make Him happy when He shows up. We want Him to come back. And whatever leads to that, we are all about it. Amen? But then I think He tells us a little bit about moving toward heaven. See, it gets over into heaven because when the Master comes back, it's over. Then we're going to continue to live with Jesus. We're going to be His bride. We're going to be like His wife. And we're going to be carrying on the household. You know, in foreign countries, a lot of times, they pay a dowry. What does the wife bring with her that adds to the household? Folks, to the degree that we steward the gifts that God has given us, He's going to say, "Man, you did a good job. Let me give you more. This ain't over yet. Eternity with me, face to face, begins now." I don't know what it's going to be over there, but this is the way we need to think. Jesus, things might get bad. Things might get good. I'm not saying we have to be in the bad time. I'm just saying good or bad, we're looking for Jesus to come back. And we rejoice toward that. We want to make ourselves as pleasing to Him as we possibly can. Not to win Him. A joke just went through my head. I'm not going to tell it. Not to win Him, but He has already won us. And we want to make ourselves as pleasing to our bridegroom as we possibly can. And so we say, "What would please you?" And we trim our wick. We make ourselves ready. Amen. Now I'm going to get in trouble with all these girls. And so then he moves on. What is trimming the wick? Yeah. What is being a good steward? You know, is Jesus going to come back and say, "Could you sing good? You were a good singer. I'm gonna give you two voices in heaven. You can sing a duet all by yourself." What is trimming the wick? What pleases Jesus? Sometimes I think we're like these girls, and here's where they're going to get mad at me, that they start buying bridal magazines when they're 16. And they've got their wedding all planned in their head. And the poor guy, you know, he's watching this thing happen. I'm the bridegroom. Oh, we're gonna have this just like this, and let's choke you to death, and let's, and I want to make sure that we can, you know, and when you walk down the aisle, and I know you don't like to dance, but you're gonna dance, and I see it. Bridal Magazine, 2006, Volume 3, Page 42. I saw it, and it's been in my mind ever since. Jesus is coming back. He's the bridegroom. Amen. He is the bridegroom. It's about Him. And sometimes I think we treat Jesus just like weddings treat men. You know, brothers, I feel your amen, but you're smart to keep them to yourself. Do you get the point? Is this whole thing about me and what I'm going to get and how it's going to affect me, and do I want to go to heaven so I don't go to hell? Or have I been a Cinderella who has been captured by a prince? And I am so honored. And will you please teach me how to be a queen rather than a stepsister? Yeah? Yeah? When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world." Chris, come on in. I had this ready. I've been waiting for you. Michelle, blessed. Well done. Come on in. Jonathan, well done. Good and faithful servant. Come on in. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the King will answer them, "Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, My brethren." You did it unto me. Your pot was full of oil. You were using your stewardship. But guess what? It was me you were doing it to. Well done, good and faithful servant. When I came to you broken, when I came to you in pain, when I came to you as an orphan, when I came to you and I was hurting, you didn't shrink back. You didn't go into a mode of protecting yourself. But you made yourself vulnerable and opened up to me. And you gave up the vision that this world had to offer. And you saw me. And you blessed me. This has been the best preparation for marriage a guy could have. All along, you saw my need. All along, you saw my heart. And all along, you gave yourself to the things that were building my kingdom, because this is who I am. Hallelujah! Jesus is coming back. And He's coming back for a bride, which you are. If I were preaching in a place where I didn't know the people, I would go ahead and preach the rest of them. I don't need to. I know your hearts, and I know what God is doing in your lives. But I want to lift us a little higher tonight. I want us to get rid of all the fear. I don't want us to be constrained by what the stock market does, what the economy does, where gas prices are. That does not affect who we are. We work on the Master's dime. We are servants of a King who has a kingdom. And we don't live according to the provision of this world, but we live according to our Father which is in heaven. Amen? Can I get an applause for Jesus? Observation, interpretation. What does it say? We see what Mark said. Into the same situation, in the same material, different situation, we see how Matthew added some of the other things that Jesus said. Application, or bridging the interpretation, it means we need to just be loving people. End times should be exciting for us, not fearful. And we should not interpret current events as end times. We should let them come, we should let them go, and we should believe that Jesus can come at any moment. You know, I'm going to laugh at these people. There's a war, and you know, when America finally falls, Jesus is going to come back. And Jesus comes back before America falls. I'm going to laugh my head off. I'm going to say, I told you so. You see what I'm saying? We live to this joyous return. But how do we do that? We care for widows, the poor. You're going to get a letter from me this week. And it's going to talk to you about how we can, in wisdom, apply our giftings to be most fruitful and not to be led about by every wind of doctrine that comes along. You know, I'd like to read you a list of the people who've written books with titles like Giving Back. People whose names were associated with scandal 10 years ago. And all other kinds of people. Promoting all kinds of stuff. Talking about giving back. Recruiting people to do things that are benevolence. But really it's nothing more than the stroking of their own ego. So we can't just go, yeah, okay, well, let me go throw all my money away. But how can I get in sync with Jesus and find out where his people are hurting, and the people that are going to become his people are in need, and best administrate my stewardship of who I am. Amen? So what I want us to do tonight is we're going to worship. And as we worship and as we speak to God, we are saying, Jesus, come back. But in the meantime, help us prepare ourselves. Help us love and pour out and become more and more like you, and use us in this place. Okay? Can we stand? Is that all right? Is everybody for that? Hallelujah.